This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America, which seems very similar to the Handicapper Report.
Hey, I haven't seen you in a while.
Seth Merrow and Mike Callahan in here on a Sunday morning. I said to Mike, why don't you stick around? We're doing some stakes replays, and you watched all the Fairground Stakes yesterday, so it'll be just as interesting to have a couple of opinions on some of the stakes recap. So Mike's sitting in. He'll be here this afternoon as well during OTB Live. We will get to that in a second. I do want to thank our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship. Gulfstream Park, champions start here. They're on the verge of their big week, obviously, with the Florida Derby coming up next weekend. So, you know, knock wood, fingers crossed, things hold together for them, because it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out with some horses that are contenders for the Kentucky Derby had it been the first Saturday. It's hard to think now, like horses coming out of these races, how do you factor them into a September race? It's a little bit different this year.
It's funny, you can watch a segment on YouTube with Brad Cox getting interviewed about Bonnie South and Wells Bayou, and he's like, he goes, my horses are ready to go, kind of like what Bob Beth said. My horses are ready to go, we have a specific timeline, and now everything's just thrown off, so everybody's in sort of uncharted waters as far as keeping their horse to be ready for the second half of the three-year-old season, because so many times in the three-year-old season, everybody runs in the Kentucky Derby, and you just don't see them again. So the fact that these 3 or 4 months may actually happen,
and I mean,
it's
as you
going
talked
to
about
be interesting.
That, as you talked about that, it dawned on me, a horse they talk about who hit the Derby at the right time, a horse like Funnyside, who just was in the right place at the right time, Derby, Preakness, and boom. And so a lot of times your horse is just ready to run that first Saturday in May. You've kind of worked back from that. And now it will be a different world.
Country House, we didn't see since the Kentucky Derby. He's, you know, he obviously was retired since, but we didn't see him. And there's a bunch of names. It's always until they reappear that you're like, oh yeah, I haven't seen him since then, or I haven't seen him since, you know, this Triple Crown race. And I think it's really going to come down to who's able to progressively keep their horse going without any setbacks. So.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Now they have that new goal to work back from, and it'd be interesting to see. Not to mention how things work in this next couple of months as far as training and moving your horses around and whatnot. That's going to add a wrinkle as well. But all right, let's get to some of the stakes replays, and we'll take a look at the big four yesterday from the fairgrounds. We'll start things out with the Louisiana Derby. Mike and I both, when we talked about the race yesterday, liked Silver State. That one winds up a little bit of a disappointing seventh at 6-1. Enforceable, who was the second choice, wound up fifth in the field. We'll watch him come down the stretch and take him all the way. Flojo lulls them to sleep on the front end. Number 3, Wells Bayou, gets it done. New York Traffic, the number 11, runs second for Safi Joseph under Joe Bravo. And Modernist, the Bill Mott runner that won one of the divisions of the Risen Star a few weeks ago, presumably the weaker division, but that one gets up for third. Major Fed runs fourth. But again, you and I were talking before we went on the air this morning, and Wells Bayou just kind of lulled them to sleep on the front end. Chart margin, 1.5 lengths. As the 3-1 kind of lukewarm favorite gets, I was a little bit surprised the horse went off as the favorite. But again, Joe Christofek liked him a lot. You said Sully and Brian on our team liked him as well. So obviously the betting public was seeing similar to what they were seeing off the nice second place finish at Oak Lawn last time in the Southwest behind Silver Prospector.
Yeah, tactically it made a lot of sense, and I think that's where everybody's thinking caps as far as people who did like him. You know, it was just one of those, you know, he's going to the lead. You're not sure who's going to go with him. Ultimately, no one ended up going with him, and it was a really good rating job by Florent Giroux, and we saw it, seems like, race after race yesterday. Factor This, you know, and Wells Bayou and a couple other horses just went wire to wire in here. For me, he's definitely one you want to use going forward, but out of this race, who do you want to use going forward? Because there were so many poor efforts. I mean, there's one that I think you may want to use in Major Fed. He ended up finishing fourth in this race. He was so far back. He was one that I had in my mix. Finished second in the second edition of the Risen Star last time out. But I thought he was closing nicely into a race where there just was no closers at all. I think Major Fed may be one you want to use going forward.
Yeah, I mean, this race to me and the King Guillermo race, there have been a couple of races over the past few weeks, two or three races actually, that have started to make this Derby prep season feel a little bit like last year, where it was somebody races to the top and then the next race they run a clunker and some crazy horse comes and nobody was validating their performances. The first few steps on the Derby trail this year, it seemed like it was different. It seemed like horses were kind of backing their performances up, but the last few weeks that hasn't been the case. So it'll be interesting to see how this three-year-old crop progresses now.
Yeah, well, we always talk about East versus West, right? So the East Coast definitely has one in Tis the Law. He's probably going to be, you know, the favorite, if not, you know, at least first or second, I would think, in my mind, at this point, but we'll see how it goes down the road. And then you have Bob Baffert with essentially the dream team right now, you know, Charlatan and Authentic and Adal. And that's where you kind of think, well, what Wells Bayou, where does he fit in that mix comparative to the top of the leaderboard as far as what you think potentially could be the favorites? And his tactics are similar to Authentic, are similar to Nadal. And, you know, Charlatan is a horse that likes to lead, probably could come from off of it. And Tis the Law isn't going to be too far off as well. So when you start to factor in the whole group of horses as the three-year-old division, it'll be interesting to see, because right now it seems like the best of the crop are horses that like to be fourth placed. We still haven't seen a that's the closer in this race type of deal. So as it shapes up, it's going to be quite interesting.
And you mentioned Charlatan. We were talking earlier about how the new Derby time frame kind of affects things. Charlatan's the one who maybe benefits being as lightly raced as he is. He now gets extra time to make his way to the Derby. So, again, it's going to be interesting to see, particularly – you know, again, knock on wood, fingers crossed, Florida Derby next weekend, see what Tis the Law.
Because everybody keeps comparing him to Justify in the campaign and the way it's being worked up, because he started out sprinting, did the mile just like Justify did, but he actually may look better than what Justify did. And that's almost impossible to say, you know, if you were talking about it 5 months ago.
And the numbers he's fired so far in those first two starts are just, you know, for a three-year-old this time of year, phenomenal. So be interesting to see him progress. All right, let's go a little bit earlier. Boy, you know, we talked all day. I think everybody thought, you're free square on some of those pick plays. Because we talked about yesterday was a mandatory with the Black Gold. It was not bad. For 50 cents, $7,300. $7,399, so just under $7,400 for 50 cents. And this had to play into it, because I'm sure a lot of people were doing what folks suggested, and I thought Finite had to be a free square. No free square. We're going to watch the stretch run of the Fairground Oaks. Finite's going to be the number six horse. And again, at the top of the stretch, you kind of feel like she's going to be okay here, and is making the move there to the lead. And then, boy, she just fades. She winds up running fourth as the 30-cent to a dollar favorite. But a horse you thought was kind of a logical alternative, if you wanted to take an alternative, was Bonnie South, the number four horse. This is a pretty nice run for the Brad Cox runner. Joe Kristofek also mentioned this one as the logical maybe other horse. I mean, everybody was thinking Finite, who, again, fourth under the wire there. But Bonnie South had been lightly raced. Maybe there was still a little upside potential. Came out of a win in an optional claimer at Oaklawn in the last race. That was the third career start. So a couple of wins and three starts coming into the race. And as I say, for Brad Cox and Judmont, maybe had a little more upside. And that this kind of indicated it. Tempers Rising, who is the horse I had right underneath, winds up, I thought, an okay second. Antoinette winds up third. But Finite, oof. I haven't seen anything this morning kind of talking about how the horse came out of the race. But, man, that was a disappointing performance from the, again, super chalky favorite.
Yeah, she regressed a little bit off that 90 buyer, which is a career best. But I actually think, because there's two ways you could look at it, right? Did everybody stop running and Bonnie South just sort of inherited it as the closer in here? I just thought Bonnie South had extremely good energy coming down the lane. I think she's one that is just moving forward that much comparative to Finite regressing that much. So I thought it was a very good performance. Obviously, Judmont has to be real happy. Brad Cox with a huge day yesterday. And Florent Giroux, they team up for the late double. So
yeah, Flojo getting it done there in the Fairground Oaks. All right, let's move on to the Munoz Memorial. Again, this was another one of those races where notable for the horses that really didn't kind of show up. Factor this, I had down at the bottom of my mix, so not shocking. And, you know, had it down at the bottom of my mix because this horse was coming out of a triple-digit win in the Fairgrounds back on February 15th. The game plan there was take them all the way on the front end. The game plan yesterday, take them all the way on the front end. Number nine factor, this gets it done. Brad Cox, Sean Bridgman. Don't blame Rocket for Julian Lepereau. Made a late run, the number three horse to run third, Rock Emperor fourth, Aquaphobia, Rock Emperor third, Aquaphobia fifth, Synchrony sixth, Instilled Regard seventh. There was some disappointments. Eighth was Channel Maker, and they were just never in it at any point. As factor, this takes it all the way around. And again, I had the horse down in the mix, but a pretty nice price for a horse coming off a win in a stake earlier at the meet. Yeah, yeah, $21 there for a factor this. But as you said, it happened turf dirt. Horses went out and kind of lulled them to sleep a few times yesterday and got it done.
Yeah, when we do these stakes recaps, I always like to use a horse, and I'm not sure if the guys could actually replay that race one more time if possible. But horses going forward, right, because there was no one that was able to close into that race. But Rock Emperor is one who's the four horse that you're watching on the outside just angled out. He's one you're going to want to use going forward. He was just way too far back in a race that had no speed whatsoever. But look at him close ground and pass horses like Instilled Regard, like a couple other in here that were stone cold closers. And he's going to finish up with real good energy coming off of a long layoff. This horse hadn't been seen since August 2019. So, again, going forward, who do you want to use? Rock Emperor was one I think you want to use in this spot. But, again, terrific performance by factor this. Tough to gauge because there was no applied pressure at the start. And he just sort of wired them. Nonetheless, it's still a very good performance. But I always like to try to use who can you use going forward. And I think he may be one you want to use.
Yeah, Rock Emperor, Mattaquette, Michael Dubb, Chad Brown. And as you say, hadn't been seen since the last Saratoga meet in the Saratoga Derby. Had a couple of starts in North America after having started the career over in Europe. And last year, was a three-year-old season, so this is now a four-year-old and indicates maybe the four-year-old season will be a little more fruitful going forward because, yeah, even the chart says seven wide at the top of the stretch.
Yeah, it was an encouraging performance, especially off the layoff, and considering that the bulk of the field as far as all the money was closers, and he was by far the best closer in that race.
Looked good. All right, let's move on to the start of, as I say, the big four yesterday down in New Orleans. The New Orleans Classic, grade two event, $400,000 up for grabs. You like the horse. Joe Christofect really liked the horse. He was saying that he talked about it on Racing Across America yesterday, but he said it on the simulcast signal as well. He was going to stand in line, bet by my standards, and then get behind people who were behind him to bet again. although the betting lines were, there were no betting lines at Fairgrounds yesterday with no fans, but he was indicating he was all in on by my standards. And when he talked with me yesterday on Racing Across America, I said, you know what, as you talk about the horse and as I look, by my standards is probably more interesting than I gave the horse credit for. The eight horse in here, as you can see, forges to the lead and winds up chart margin of three lengths. As the second choice, actually, I liked Fearless, the number three. That's the horse on the rail sitting about fifth right now, who is going to get banged around a little bit right in here. There will be a subsequent DQ, but Fearless had a tough trip and only the third career start. Captivating Moon, the number seven, gets up for second. Chess Chief, the four, runs third, but subsequently gets DQ'd behind Fearless, and Tenfold gets moved up to third in here. But again, we talked yesterday, and I mentioned with Joe, and as I say, with you liking the horse, this was a horse that now as a four-year-old, coming off a nice win earlier in the meet in the first start as a four-year-old, which was the first start since the Derby last year, but this horse now 2-for-2 as a four-year-old with two pretty good performances for Brett Calhoun. This horse in a what is budding out to be a really nice handicap division, this horse looks to be a player by my standards.
Yeah, going forward. I mean, I was really intrigued when he came back from that. You know, he hadn't been seen since the Kentucky Derby down at Fairgrounds. He won by six, and he was not asked at all. And then he subsequently had that workout, which was first of 88, and just kind of made everybody intrigued. I was highly intrigued. I know Joe Christofek, like you said, from the interview, was all over him. And, I mean, it was an oddly run race, I will say. Maybe you give one more try to Silver Dust going forward. Fearless, the horse that you had, because Silver Dust missed the break. You didn't get to see the first turn or run into the first turn, but he missed the break, was forwardly placed, sort of set it up for By My Standard. And then Fearless, horse that likes to be on the lead, kind of gets into some traffic trouble, was climbing down the back stretch and kind of got banged around coming down the stretch. So a couple different horses I think you want to use going forward, but nonetheless, By My Standards definitely fulfilled everybody's intrigue as far as how he raced yesterday. So.
Yeah, Fearless, as you say, that's one you maybe give a pass to and take another look if you like that horse. It was only the third career start, got knocked around a little bit, and as you say, had some trouble earlier in the race as well. All right, a couple of stakes from Gulfstream to take a look at. The Melody of Colors yesterday. These are three-year-old fillies going five on the grass. It will be Hear My Prayer getting it done as the even money favorite. This horse had won two starts in four career starts prior to this. Tried Stakes Company last time, and after having shown early speed, wound up sixth, but that was at 7.5. Got back to the 5 furlongs, and the 5 furlongs clearly right up her alley here. Turf sprinting a specialty, and I think these 5 furlongs even more of a specialty. She was 2-for-2 at the 5 furlong turf sprint distance prior to this, so now 3-for-3 turf sprinting at 5 furlongs. So again, that the 7.5 may be a little too long, and down there 7.5 is also two turns.
Yeah.
So it's a different ball game. But she gets back to what she likes and gets it done as the even money favorite under Paco Lopez. And I will say Compensate, who ran second, the number 2 horse, under Edgar Prado. So Prado continuing to ride very well down there, but as part of the big day for Paco Lopez, picks up a stakes win.
Yeah, 7 incredible wins, especially the later half of the card. And that was a good performance. It was even a good performance by Foolish Humor. I know it got tired down the lane, but they really went at it in that first quarter, 21-1. They had applied pressure on each other the entire way. Softened up Foolish Humor, but nonetheless, Hear My Prayer was able to withstand all that pressure and still go forward. So
yeah, looked good. As I say, a little bit of a specialty at that 5 furlong turf sprint distance, obviously. The 3-year-old boys did it in the Texas Glitter, 5 furlongs on the turf. In there, the favorite was I Sir at 2-1. That one disappoints, running 6th in the field of 8. The third choice, actually, at 7-2, Cajun Casanova, the number 5, gets it done. Cajun Casanova coming off a decent little second-place finish in a turf sprint last time. It only tried turf sprinting a couple times in the career with a win and a second-place finish. So, again, this may be the game plan going forward for that one, with just a nice late run to get up in the shadow of a wire. Chart Margin was a neck. Our Man Joe runs second. Guildsman runs third. As I say, the favorite, I Sir, runs sixth. And the second favorite at 5-2, Another Miracle, runs 7th in there. Under Dylan Davis, who we mentioned yesterday, taking advantage of the situation with no racing in New York and some jockeys on the sidelines down in Florida, Dylan Davis heads down to Florida to kind of see if he can pick up some mounts. Good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And he had some live horses yesterday. He had the earlier on when we were doing OTV Live, he had that horse that finished second but just missed. He was full of energy, and Yeah, but like you said, with these, with tracks closing and some being open, you're going to see some jockeys doing some things. Some are sitting out. Some are going down to other tracks that they normally don't run at, but it's going to be quite interesting. And maybe if it's a track that you like and you see someone from out of town, you get it, you know, maybe some inflated value on some horses because they're unknown jockeys to some people who are normally used to seeing it. But it's definitely interesting.
Yeah, it's, as I say, good for him because, again, it also may put you in the sights of some trainers you normally wouldn't be
right.
teamed up with. And they're like, eh, okay, you were there for
maybe
us
you'll make
this
some
winter.
New connections.
And, yeah.
yeah.
So we'll see what Dylan does down at Santa Anita over the next week or so, heading into the Florida Derby weekend. And finally, I wanted to pull up one more replay, just because the San Simeon out in Southern California, Grade 3 event, $100,000 up for grabs, 5.5 furlongs on the turf. I thought it was interesting because Voodoo Song was in here, who hasn't been seen since last November at Aqueduct, but we all remember him from a few years ago in the barn of Linda Rice, winning four races at the Saratoga meet. Just phenomenal. New York-bred Voodoo Song, now a six-year-old, but he's now out in the care of Richard Mandel out in Southern California. This was his first start on Southern California, and I pulled up the race not knowing the result. I called for it earlier. Unfortunately, as a six horse, he winds up disappointing a little bit. He got off his step slow, and he was in tight late, winds up sixth in the field of seven. But Bound for Nowhere from Wesley Ward, the number two horse, as the 1-2 favorite, just gets edged here by Cistron. Cistron coming off a win last time in the Bing Crosby, but that was last July at Del Mar. So John Sadler doing a good job for Hieronymus Racing, getting that one ready off the layoff. And Bound for Nowhere hadn't been seen since October, a nice win. 7 furlongs on the turf at Belmont, but a nice ding-dong battle up front between Cistron and Bound for Nowhere to the wire.
Yeah, both good efforts by those horses. But how about Cistron? Cistron, just a cool horse. He's won stakes on dirt and also on turf now. So he's one that's just, you can see
yeah, the
a
Bing
grinder.
Crosby
yeah.
at Delmar was dirt.
The dirt, yeah. So, and he's normally a horse that's on the lead, and he actually tactically had to sit off of a couple horses, including Bound for Nowhere, and still went and got him. So I think this, I mean, the connections have to be really high and encouraged by that effort because he did it a different way and on a different surface. So
yeah, to have a horse that's that versatile, you must feel great because you can look at the condition book, go anywhere you want. I mean, the Bing Crosby was a grade one on dirt, gets a nice little grade three to start the season on turf here, and so the options are kind of unlimited for that one going forward. All right, going to head to a break. Mike, thanks for jumping in.
No problem.
In the stakes segment. I'll come back and do a little handicapping. I'm going to take a look at the early pick four at Oaklawn today, go through that sequence. And then a little bit later on, as I said earlier, picked up a couple of interviews that Jenny Reese had done last week with a couple trainers kind of addressing the change in the Derby schedule and the whole situation with the virus. And I just thought it was interesting to hear perspective from backstretch people and what they're thinking during these kind of unsettled times. So we'll have that a little bit later on. When we come back, though, a little bit of handicapping. Stay tuned. Racing Across America continues.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Wagering on horse racing just got a lot easier at Capital OTB with our newly designed state-of-the-art mobile wagering site. Everything you need is right here on one easy-to-navigate mobile platform. Set your favorite tracks, pick your horses, place your bets, all with a simple tap of the screen. Plus, you'll have access to Capital OTB TV for all our network programming. So log on to CapitalOTBBet.com and see just how easy wagering on horse racing can be.
Visit Rivers Casino and Resort, the Capital Region's only destination for live table game action and the hottest new slots paying out millions. And they're off. Horse betting is now at Rivers Casino and Resort with Capital off-track betting terminals and live tellers located just off the gaming floor at Van Slick's. Get in on all the action at Rivers Casino and Resort.
Welcome back to Racing Across. I almost said the Handicappers Board. Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Seth Merrow in here. We just did a little stakes recap. We'll jump in and do a little handicapping now. And for folks who maybe haven't been tuned in over the last few days, should update, I think. Again, we've been saying the situation hour by hour, and things clearly changed significantly over the last few days. I think it was Thursday we heard from Aqueduct that they had to cancel their meet indefinitely when a groom over at Belmont tested positive, so that kind of forced their hand a little bit. So Aqueduct off the table. Again, yesterday it was announced kind of in the middle of the Fairgrounds card that that would end their season. They had about another week left to their meet. So Fairgrounds wrapped up after the Louisiana Derby card yesterday. Just earlier when we were doing the handicapper support, in the midst of that program, it came out that the Dubai World Cup has been canceled for this year. So again, and there are a number of other tracks that have canceled as well. Tracks still running, though, this afternoon on OTB Live. We'll take a look at some Gulfstream, some Tampa, Saratoga Harness, and we'll look at some Oaklawn as well. So I'll jump in and give some Oaklawn thoughts on the pick four during this handicapping segment. Now, again, without looking at the scratches, I don't have a ticket, but I'll give some thoughts maybe if you're thinking about putting a ticket together, the early pick four at Oaklawn today, maybe toss out some ideas. And boy, these pick fours, I think, at Oaklawn potentially can offer some value, more often than not do. In the opener at Oaklawn today, $8,000 conditional claimer. I have it 6-3-1-8. The number six, She's a Dime. Gets a little additional class relief off some nice improving numbers over the past three starts. Just to me looks kind of primed for Doug O'Neill. Now, I would have maybe tilted towards Fiesta in Vegas as my top pick off the last couple of starts. A little improvement last time. Gets a little additional class relief today. It's a Norm McKnight trainee. And as I say, I may have tilted more in that direction given what's on the page. But Norm McKnight, a little bit cool at this Oaklawn meet as compared to what he's done in the past and certainly what he does up at Woodbine. So I was a little bit skeptical, I suppose, of Fiesta in Vegas. I have the horse right underneath. I think they're fairly comparable, but that's the reasoning behind tilting a little more towards She's a Dime over Fiesta in Vegas. Pick four-wise, I would probably feel comfortable with those two, but I will say, if you really want to feel comfortable, Perfect Rush, who I have down in the third spot. On the class drop for John Sadler, becomes a little bit scary. Showed some early speed last time before fading, but did that at a 30,000 level. Comes back at 8. That speed may be far more potent today at this level. So again, I could almost make a case for sticking with the top two, but again, the one is very dangerous in here as well, I think. So race number one at Oaklawn this afternoon, I have it 6-3-1-8. Race number two at Oaklawn. These are maiden claimers going a mile. I have it 110-4-3. Flash of Silver. Claimed out of a pretty good try last time. Really, the first three tries of the career have been okay. Churchill last November, a decent little second place finish in a maiden claimer. Then they got ambitious down at Fairgrounds, two starts back, and ran an okay second in maiden specials. And then moved back into a maiden claiming race last time on the move to Oaklawn and ran a good second with improving numbers in all three of those starts. Now was claimed out of that try last time, moves into the barn of Steve Hobby, out of the barn of Wayne Catalano. Overall, percentage-wise, these are fairly similar barns, but Steve Hobby having a really good meet with limited starters at Oaklawn. And again, with a limited number, a pretty impressive figure. First off the claim, he's only had, according to the Daily Racing Form stats, four first off the claim runners in the time period of the DRF stats. Three of them have won. So flash of silver, an interesting play on top. Hidden Promise, first off the claim for John Sadler off a pretty good try last time. Again, improving start one to start two and significantly in start three when moved in for a claimer. So Hidden Promise is also one that has to be considered. And Recklessness. Once you get past the top, now this race I probably could feel far more confident with the top two. I could even make a case to stick on Flash of Silver, but I think Hidden Promise maybe has a little upside. Recklessness seems a step beyond those, but does get a little additional class relief. Trinity Thunder is another Norm McKnight horse that has some back numbers that stack up. But again, Norm McKnight, a little cool at the meet. This one hasn't been seen since Woodbine. So I could make cases for the three and the four, but I think the one and the two are far more standout as far as if I was going to jump in on the pick four here. In the Oaklawn second, 1, 10, 4, and 3. And again, the 1 and the 10 are a couple that I could probably, as I say, feel fairly confident with in there. In the third race at Oaklawn, conditional claimer, 3/4 of a mile. I have it 1, 10, 12, and 3. Our Fast Life on top. Goes out for Ingrid Mason, who is having a decent little meet down there. Has some back numbers. The Hawthorne races earlier, going back to last year, were pretty good. Had a long layoff from March until October, so now three starts kind of on the comeback. And they have all been against better. So I think an additional little dose of class relief with numbers that match up nicely with this group. That'll be beneficial. Monday Confession is one that if I was playing a pick four, I'd toss that one in and look for a little value. It's Federico Villafranco off a little third place finish last time against fairly similar. Overall, the buyers this horse fires match up well with this group. And I've said it a few times over the past month or so. Federico Villafranco usually does pretty well down at Oaklawn. But it seems like over the past couple of seasons, he's gotten hot later on. Now, it hasn't quite worked out that way this year, but I thought over the last few days, maybe he's signaling that'll be the case. So Monday Confession, again, at a 10-1 morning line, interesting to me in the pick four kind of a scenario. The number 12 in the third slot off the win last time. At a 10 N2L, now comes back for an 8,000B condition, but just seems to be in good form for Robertino Diodoro, who's having a very good meet. So I think that one has to be included as well. And Junior Gilliam off the claim for Chris Hartman. This is one you can go either way with. They claim the horse for 25. They come back for 8. That, to me, is never really a good sign. But there's some back class here that just says that one's too dicey to leave out. This is one where I'd probably, given that I felt some confidence going maybe only too deep in the first two legs, pop in all four here and maybe hope for one of the prices, the 3 Junior Gilliam at 8-1 on the morning line, or 10 Monday Confession at 10-1 on the morning line. The third at Oaklawn, 1, 10, 12, and 3. Race number 4 at Oaklawn, maiden 12-5 claimers going a mile. I have it 4, 10, 9, and 5. The number 4 is Majestic Day. Just seems to be running well and be running in an improving fashion since arriving at Oaklawn this season. Ingrid Mason again having a good meet, and this one coming off the nice buyer, and not a lifetime best buyer, but one of the better buyers showing in quite a while. So seems to be indicating some good form right now. Majestic Day on top. Witherspoon in the second slot. Just can't ignore the class relief. This horse hasn't really shown anything. But with this level of class relief, maybe this horse moves forward. Still lightly raced, so I can't say for sure that the class relief won't do something positive. So I'll toss that one in. And Battlestown in the third spot. Asmussen Trainee, second off the claim, getting a little class relief. From the first start off the claim. And again, number-wise, fits in very well with this bunch, as does Campaign Spy for Wayne Catalano. So another one where I'd be tempted, maybe if you do go the two deep in the first two, you go four deep in the next two and hope for prices in one or both of those races. But in the fourth at Oaklawn, 4, 10, 9, and 5. All right. That'll bring us to our next break. As I say, when we come back, a couple of taped interviews from earlier this week from some horsemen kind of addressing the change in the Derby schedule and the you know, the situation with the coronavirus and not. I just thought they were interesting to get some horsemen's perspective, what the thoughts are on the backstretch given the current situation in the country and in the horse racing game. So we'll come back and we'll introduce those two interviews in the next segment as Racing Across America continues on this Sunday morning. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Come on!
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Here in upstate New York, no one provides bettors with more wagering options than Capital OTB. Our network of branch and easy bet locations stretches from the mid-Hudson Valley all the way to the Canadian border and west to central New York. So whether you need to place a bet, fund your Capital Bets account, or watch the next big race, all the action is just around the corner. A full list of our branch and easy bet locations can be found online at CapitalOTB.com. Capital OTB, the better and most convenient choice for wagering in upstate New York.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Seth Merrow in the studio. Thanks for joining us. Again, there were a couple of taped interviews. Jenny Reese now has the Thoroughbred News Service, and we've had Jenny on the show many times. If you watch enough, you're familiar with her. Used to be the horse racing writer for the Louisville Courier Journal. Now she does a lot of freelance work, a lot of work for the Kentucky Horsemen and whatnot. But this Thoroughbred News Service, she's now, over the past few months, because she was talking about it with me when we were down at the National Handicapping Championship. She was working for the NTRA down there, helping with news releases on that. But the Thoroughbred News Service, she just is going out, a lot of press releases, doing a lot of video content, just to spread the word on the racing industry. And she has some other folks, when they're at tracks, she'll tap into them to produce some content. And she had some content this week going out in you know, preview of the Louisiana Derby. A couple of the interviews also touched on the change up in the Derby schedule and the situation, obviously, with the coronavirus. And so I pulled up a couple of those from prominent trainers. Now, these were earlier this week, so they're a little bit dated, I suppose. You will catch on to that because one or both of them, I know Brett Calhoun does, but Tommy Amos may as well, talk a little bit about their runners yesterday at the fairgrounds. But mainly, I pulled up the interviews for their thoughts, as I say, on the change-up in the Derby schedule. And again, just to get the thought process on this virus situation and what it means to folks who are, you know, on the backstretch and making a living in the racing game. And I thought they had some interesting thoughts and insights there. So we'll start. I'll come back on after this interview and intro Tommy Amos, but we'll fire up right now Brett Calhoun. And again, it was, I think the interviews are going back to maybe Tuesday from this week. So he may talk a little bit about some of his runners in yesterday. But again, just the interesting portion to me, a little bit of a wider discussion on what's going on right now in the racing game. So coming up next, trainer Brett Calhoun.
How big is it now and how much do you want to get Mr. Big News in, given that who knows what comes next after this race?
Well, that's the problem, and I'm sure that's why there's no defections, because nobody has another place to run. So this is an important race for right now, the unknown, not anybody knowing what kind of preps we might have in the future. So, yeah, it's an important race for us, and I think going forward, the race is going to hold the field probably too, so it's going to be hard to get a horse his kind of earnings in.
So, yeah, that's the other thing, is that you might think you have a horse that's qualified for the Derby, but you don't know because there's going to be new races, a whole new set of dynamics. In particular, with the three-year-olds that you have, how does this delay in the Derby, is there any that it might help? Any that you think it's going to be?
There's some others that, you know, might be later developing horses that might help some. These that we've got, you know, that are ready right now, you know, obviously you need points still, but you don't want to go over the top. It's a long time between now and September, so you kind of want to keep a steady progression. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a balancing act right now.
One more Louisiana Derby question. You won it last year, your biggest race with a three-year-old dirt horse. Does it make it seem more attainable? By my standards, it only broken his maiden at that point. With some of your other three-year-olds this year, having done it last year?
Yeah, it kind of does. And with Mailman Money, obviously, I always thought he was immature mentally and physically early on, and he won his first two races, which is kind of surprising. By my standards, he was always immature, and it took him longer than I thought to break his maiden. And he breaks his maiden, comes back and wins the Louisiana Derby. So I think we're in a pretty good position. This horse has got, obviously, a lot more schooling and education. And coming into it a little bit more of a seasoned horse. The other horse had several races just against babies.
No Keeneland. Everybody's trying to wait to find out when you can get into Churchill. What's it like for a stable, and what's it like for the economics for both trainers and owners?
I think the biggest concern for us right now is stabling space. I mean, we're all, none of us have any idea where we're going to be able to go. If they're going to put us out of here. If they put us out of here, we're going to have a place to go at Churchill. So I think that's the biggest fear right now. Obviously, we'd like to know about racing, but stabling for these horses and our help is the biggest importance to us right now.
You also have horses in Texas at, where are they in Texas?
They're at Sam Houston, and they're supposed to go to Lone Star the 29th or 30th, you know, and I don't know what's going to happen there either.
So just...
It's a big unknown. I mean, it was changing daily. I think now it's changing hourly. I just don't think anybody knows, and I don't think anybody knows when this curve's going to change. So I think it's all up in the air. You know, I guess all of our hope is you get 14, 15 days down the road, this thing takes a turn for the better, and things start getting back to normality.
And you've got some other horses. You got Silver Dust, and you have By My Standards, last year's Louisiana Derby winner running. Same sort of deal. They're running in the New Orleans Classic. It's just big to get a race into these horses because who knows when they might run again.
Absolutely. You know, it's a big purse, running out of their own stalls. You know, it's a great race for both of them. I hate to run them together. They're both doing great. And the unknown going forward, you know, it's a good place to run and have a race in them. And then maybe in a month or so, everything works its way out and we get another plan.
Did you have a lot of horses to run at Keeneland, and are you looking at the condition book here to see maybe horses you were going to wait and run up there? Is there a way to run them down here in the final week?
We were planning on running a lot of horses up there, and there's really not races for those horses here. And some of them were just getting ready off layoffs and things like that, and I had a plan for Digital to go to the Pat Day Mile. I was going to prep them in an allowance race there, so there's some real questions for some of these horses where we're going to run them.
And again, Brett Calhoun with a good day yesterday with By My Standards, winning that New Orleans Classic. But Mailman Money, a little bit disappointing, running 11th in the Louisiana Derby. But again, it was just interesting to hear, you know, because you don't think about that. And with the situation, as he said, where do we go with our horses now and, you know, the help and whatnot. And you don't think about those things oftentimes. I mentioned earlier, I'll mention again, the Louisiana Racing Commission passed a rule a couple of days ago, within the past couple of days, that the tracks in Louisiana have to stay open to the horse population and the training population and whatnot, so they can be taken care of. And the game plan was going to be the horses were all going to have to move out of these tracks and move to other locations. But with that being all up in the air, you know, hats off to the Louisiana Racing Commission. They have at least given a little continuity to these folks that, if need be, they can stay in place right now. And again, if you didn't hear over the past day or so, Fairgrounds, which had about another week to their meet, is now canceled after yesterday's Louisiana Derby card. But it's good to know that the folks that don't necessarily have someplace else to go can kind of stay there for the time being. So there's a little normalcy there that has been decided. Again, that interview was recorded, I think, about Tuesday. So at that point, that was still up in the air. And as you could hear, a prominent trainer was a little concerned what the game plan was going to be. But that has put a little bit of certainty in it for the connections that they can stick around the Louisiana tracks at least for another 30 days. All right, also wanted to pull up an interview, again, from, I believe, Tuesday. And this situation has changed up quite a bit. Tommy Amos was interviewed. Tommy Amos, who was at Oaklawn last week and interacted with Sean Payton, the NFL coach, subsequently, I think it was on Thursday, it was announced Sean Payton had tested positive, and subsequently Tommy Amos let it be known that he had gone into self-quarantine. Jeremiah Engelhart, who also interacted with Sean Payton, announced that he was going into quarantine as well. But this, as I say, was a couple days before all of that was known. So Tommy Amos talked just a little bit about, again, the backstretch and as a trainer, horsemen, what the thought process is in this situation right now. Society in general, horse racing in particular. So up next, trainer Tommy Amos.
Like the rest of the world, the horse racing industry is having to adapt. And who knows if the changes that are current right now are going to be the changes that we're living with. I mean, I have a real concern that we're living on borrowed time. I hope I'm wrong. The model shows that we can get by with just simulcast money, so that makes us unique. And it gives us a real opportunity because a lot of people are at home and looking for something to do, and there's no sports other than us. But at the same time, we've got a very serious situation with the coronavirus, particularly here in New Orleans, maybe more so in New Orleans than other places in the nation. But that is first and foremost, and we're being careful and cognizant of any changes.
Of course, horses are living, breathing athletes, and you can't just stop and start on them on a dime or a switch. What impact does that have on a racing stable with, you know, you're racing through Saturday here, but beyond that, we don't know. Normally you would go to Kentucky, race at Keeneland, they're shut down. Who knows when Churchill opens?
Right, it's a work in progress. I think we all recognize that. You know, the two things that we're doing in the stable are, number one, really trying to follow the protocols of what's been given to us by the commander-in-chief and what we're, how we take care of ourselves and how we work around each other. But the second thing we're doing is we're trying to get a good understanding of economically how we can or can't make money with our horses through racing opportunities. And so that's constantly shifting. Keeneland canceling their meet just happened yesterday, and so we're trying to focus on the meets that are going to run and see if we can't run there. But I think that's ever changing too. So it's a very, very frustrating time. I know for my owners, for me as the trainer who's responsible for their investments, it's a frustrating time as well. I'm just trying to keep up with everything that's happening.
Do you look down your shed row and see if you maybe have a maiden winner, a three-year-old that maybe could make the Derby at this point?
Or? Yeah, you know, I'm not even thinking like that. Right now I'm thinking about, you know, how to get things as good as they can be for my owners and for my athletes, for my horses.
When you have a horse like Serengeti Empress coming off a big win Saturday at Oaklawn, how does it change preparation? I mean, you're looking at the Apple Blossom, but you're assuming that they're going to run the Apple Blossom
right
in the middle of April.
Right. So in the short term, it doesn't change anything because she's going to get a few days off before she starts training again. So, you know, that's not the problem. And really, yeah, of course it would change things for the Apple Blossom. But, you know, I like to look at it another way. I got an opportunity to run this past Saturday with her. She won a big race. I feel blessed that we got that opportunity.
You've got three horses running in this Saturday. How big is it that the Fairgrounds is going to have their showcase Louisiana Derby card?
Well, I think it's very important. You know, I'm really, quite frankly, I'm stunned that the Derby's been moved to September, but I do understand why. And if we can get by the Fairgrounds here and get the Louisiana Derby in, even though I'm not participating in that, I think it's very important to the commitment Churchill Downs, Inc. has made to not only the horsemen, but to the community. So hopefully that happens. But again, I know things are ever-changing, and I worry that we're not going to get the race in. I hope I'm wrong.
What was your reaction when you heard the Derby September 5th?
Well, I mean, I get it. Look, you know, the one thing about Churchill Downs, on those 2 days, they sell a lot of tickets to a lot of different spots in the track. Everything's sold in advance, so they're really not in a position to run that race with no crowd as we're able to do on the everyday basis. So for the people that are worried about Churchill Downs opening and running regular races, I could see it easily happening with no crowds at first and then bringing the crowds in as the coronavirus hopefully subsides. But with the Churchill Downs, with the Derby and with the Oaks, it just wasn't something that they were going to be able to do, and I understand that.
You're a Louisville guy. It's going to seem strange. That's also football season.
Yeah.
Which you don't have in the first Saturday in May.
First thing I did was see who LSU's playing that weekend. Fortunately, they're playing a cupcake, so I'll stay in Louisville for the races.
And again, both of those interviews we looked at were taped, I think, last Tuesday by Jenny Reese in anticipation of previewing the weekend at Louisiana at Fairgrounds with the Louisiana Derby. Tommy Amos yesterday, Lone Sailor ran eighth. His other, he had a maiden special, also ran. But over at Oaklawn yesterday, he won the gazebo with Long Weekend. So he did have a winner, stakes winner yesterday, did it at Oaklawn, however. But I thought the two interviews were just kind of interesting to get backstretch perspective given the situation right now. And I think you got the feeling from both of these guys that on the backstretch, it's not any different. Even with tracks running, it's not any different than it is for virtually everyone else. There's a lot of uncertainty. When will things change? And if they do, how will we pay our people? And how will we pay our bills? And et cetera. You can see that kind of thought process very, very much the same for the folks on the backstretch as it is right now for a lot of people. And as Tommy Amos said, also kind of taking care of people and living up to the protocols and trying to do the best. And subsequently, as I said, the interview was done earlier in the week, and subsequently Tommy Amos went into self-quarantine given his having come into contact with somebody having a positive last weekend out at Oaklawn. So again, things change day by day, hour by hour. But as we've continued to say over the past few days, hopefully we provide a little bit of a distraction here by offering a little bit of horse racing. And again, I will recommend don't tune into the news channel for 4 hours straight. It can get a little anxious and stressful. So keep up with the news and then turn over and maybe watch us for a little while. And even if you're playing with dough or not, pick a horse and just root it along and have some fun. And hopefully we can help you through that with the afternoon program. Mike Callahan and I will be back in probably about an hour or so. Saratoga Harness will kick off right around noontime. And I think Tampa 12:25 today, Gulfstream at 1 o'clock. And I think Oaklawn, if I'm not mistaken, is maybe a little bit earlier today too, but they'll be in our mix also. So we will have plenty of racing action this afternoon to kind of, as I say, entertain and distract, hopefully. Once again, if folks are out there and are fighting through this, have contracted the disease, or you have family members, we wish you all the best, and hopefully everything works out fabulously there. But for the vast majority of people who don't have it but are kind of hunkered down at home, kind of trying to keep up with the current rules, as it were. I know it can be very different and maybe a little bit stressful as well. But as I say, hopefully we can toss in a few laughs, a little bit of distraction and entertainment, and that'll be the game plan when we're back a little bit later this afternoon. Hopefully we've done some of that also this morning with the Handicapper Support and this edition of Racing Across America. I'm going to wrap it up. Do want to thank our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship. Gulfstream Park, champions start here. And as I said a little bit earlier, we knock wood. I'm knocking the desk, crossing my fingers. Florida Derby next Saturday to continue racing down at Gulfstream and get in that Florida Derby weekend, which looks to be very interesting as well on the horse racing side. So we're hoping for the best for everybody down there as well. But the game plan is they're up and running this afternoon, and we will be looking at it in, as I say, probably kick in about an hour or so with OTB Live. So wrapping up this edition of Racing Across America, OTB Live in about an hour. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off Track Betting.